Hi, this is Allison Sheridan of the NoSillaCast podcast, hosted at podfeet.com, a technology geek podcast with an ever-so-slight Macintosh bias. Today is Sunday, July 31st, 2016, and this is show number 586. Well, Steve and I have been a little bit off the grid this week because our daughter, Lindsay, also known as Ghiblies in the NoSillaCast Ways chat room, and her husband, Nolan, had a baby on Wednesday. We're absolutely over the moon to be grandparents, as you can well imagine. She went into labor on Wednesday morning, so we hopped in the car at 5 a.m., raced down to San Diego so we could be there for them. As these things go, though, we didn't really need to drive that quickly. It took forever, and Forbes' John Tondi came on the scene at 8:35 p.m., weighing in at a whopping 9 pounds even. Lindsay's doing great, and so is Forb, but, you know, Nolan looks a little bit tired. Anyway, I promised not to blather on about the baby after this, unless there's a tech angle, of course. Lindsay was in labor for 17 and a half hours, the last three or so of which was the act of pushing. Before she started to push, though, she started a workout on her Apple Watch. Isn't that awesome? She set it to other, of course, because for some reason there's no squishing a baby out button on the Apple Watch. And she recorded her calorie burn during that 3 hours. Just for the record, it takes 812 calories to push out a 9-pound baby, if you were wondering. There's a picture in the show notes of her watch. I think you'll like it. Of course, I'm thrilled that Forbes and Lindsay are happy and healthy. It's an added bonus that my daughter came through as a true NoSilla castaway. Well, tomorrow, which is Monday, I'm going to be on the Daily Tech News Show again. So if you get a chance to check it out, I'll, of course, mention it after the fact. But at DailyTechNewsShow.com, check out Monday's show. I'll be on with Tom Merritt. I always have a really good time doing that. And I forget to tell you guys ahead of time, but this time I remembered. Well, this week I did not do a chit-chat across the pond because of the baby. And last week on the NoSillaCast, I forgot to tell you who was on chit-chat across the pond. It was actually Bart Bouchatz, but not to talk about programming. In last week's chit-chat, he told us about his quest to lose weight using technology and how he's lost 40 pounds so far. He's not even done yet. He walks through all of the phases he went through, from thinking he could lose weight without counting any metrics, to an elongated bike ride home, to tracking calories and exercise like a maniac. It's really inspirational. If you've been curious about how to get her done yourself, I think you'll really find his conversation inspiring. Now, I haven't mentioned it in a long time, but there's a way that you would have known this week that there was no chit-chat and who the guest was last week. We have a little newsletter called Podfeet Press. It's not very chatty at all. It automatically sends out a letter when the new shows come out, both chit-chat and NoSillaCast, with all of the links that are normally in the top part of the blog post. Other than that, it's completely silent unless something goes wrong. Like this week, when I didn't do a chit-chat across the pond, I went ahead and sent out a Podfeet Press. I really like to have that conduit to talk to you guys, because sometimes I've made a goofy mess up in posting the show, or there's a delay, or maybe I need your help with something. We even did a contest or two once in a while through the Podfeet Press. If you'd like to sign up for Podfeet Press, go over to podfeet.com/podfeetpress or follow the link in the show notes. I promise it's not spammy. Now, after explaining how I didn't have time to do a chit-chat across the pond, you might be wondering how I made the time to do a NoSillaCast. Well, I didn't. A week or so ago, I was talking to our good friend and fellow NoSilla castaway, Pat Dengler, and I told her that I was going to break the 11-year streak of never missing a show. I figured, you know, having a grandchild, that's a pretty good excuse to miss the show just this once. She said, that is unacceptable, and she suggested that the NoSilla castaway should just do the show for me. She said she'd start by doing her own review and that I should ask for more help. I posted her idea on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+, and the NoSilla castaways came through like champs. We have reviews from Pat, George from Tulsa, Denise Crown, Alistair Jenks, and Daryl Shandro Hilliker. I'm going to pipe in from time to time between reviews, but sit back and enjoy the NoSilla castaways show.
Hi, Allison and NoSilla cast listeners. This is Pat Dengler of Dengler Consulting. I'm going to chat about three devices that I use to monitor my health. What they have in common is that they all report to Apple's Health app. Each has their own app, but with appropriate permissions given, I can see all my readings in one place. After I listen to the NoSillaCast, one of several podcasts I follow is by Tim Ferriss. He's known for the 4-hour work week and the 4-hour body. He's a big experimenter on himself. While I'm not, but with Apple's Health app and the accessibility of various medical-grade measuring devices, I thought it would be fun to try a few. That's usually my problem to be solved, by the way. What would happen if I tried... ... I'm also a big experimenter with home automation, so this just follows. Adding to my interest in trying new technologies is the fact that I have a few pounds to lose and a friend was recently diagnosed with diabetes. I was curious about my own health status. I've been trying various consumer technology that works with Apple Health. I showed the health app to my doctor at my last visit and he was impressed. It also gave him a picture of trends, in particular my blood pressure, which runs a little high. We've all heard of white coat syndrome, right? That's where a blood pressure measurement is abnormally high due to the stress and anxiety often felt in a doctor's office. All those white coats. My doctor was able to see my measurements taken in the calm of my home over a period of several weeks. Much better than over-medicating based on one measurement. I use the Ease wireless blood pressure monitor made by iHealth to regularly record my blood pressure. The next device is the Cardia by AliveCor. Years ago, I was intrigued by the announcement of a device to monitor cardiac rhythm when paired with an iPhone. That was proposed by Dr. Eric Topol, a cardiologist at Scripps in San Diego, who had been an advocate for giving the patient more control and more accessibility to their own health information. It's through him that I first heard about the AliveCor device. It will record a single lead EKG in 30 seconds, primarily to show evidence of atrial fibrillation. Atrial fibrillation is basically an irregular heartbeat that can increase your risk for things like stroke, heart failure, or blood clots. I've watched the device morph from an iPhone case to the small device it is now, and I decided to purchase it this year. When you first set it up, the first test results are sent to be evaluated by a medical doctor. Within 24 hours, you get the results. After that, you can keep recording and save them and send them to your own doctor. It will note whether or not it finds any abnormalities. I don't have AF, so I can't speak to what it does when it does find irregularities in the rhythm. There is also a subscription option to pay for regular evaluations by a physician. So, I started checking my blood glucose when a friend was diagnosed with diabetes and had to regularly check hers. I found the Align device, also made by iHealth, to be very affordable, as well as the strips and lancets that you need to take your measurements. iHealth is striving to take down the cost of medical testing as well. Its device and supplies are the most affordable on the market. The accuracy of these devices has been found to be very good. There are a number of studies that find them within 1 to 3% of the tests you get in your office, your doctor's office, rather. Other devices I use regularly are the Apple Watch exercise app and Withings body composition scale. Both report back to the Apple Health app. As with anything medical, check with your doctor if you have any questions regarding your health. Don't rely on just a few tests to replace a regular visit to your medical provider. Hope you enjoyed my quick little report.
I'm really thrilled with the way the Nosilla Castaways are inspiring each other to get healthier while using technology to be more effective at it. Bastian started it off, and then Bart and now Pat are helping all of us learn. I especially like Pat's reviews here because it's easy to forget that, for the heart stuff she was talking about, heart disease is the leading cause of death in women. Most people think it's cancer, but it's actually 22.9% of deaths in women are from heart attacks, which is higher than the cancer rate. So, get yourself healthy. This is good stuff. Now, Pat gave me the prices on the devices she talked about, and they're surprisingly affordable. The iHealth Align blood glucose monitor that she talked about is for iOS and Android, and it's only $16.95. Like she said, you got to buy strips for it. Those are $12.50 I wrote down 60, but I think it's for 50 of the strips. And the lancets are $4.95 for 50. So I don't know how many you go through when you're checking your blood glucose, but that sure seems really affordable. $16.95 for the device. And the iHealth Ease wireless blood pressure monitor for iOS is that's for the iPhone. It's a little stand and you shove the iPhone into it and you've got the little cuff. It's only $40. So good prices on all of those. The ECG from Cardia, that is for iOS and Android. That was the most expensive one. That one's $99. But I mean, you are talking about reading on your heart. So you don't want to really cut corners on that. I have to tell you, my crazy athletic cousin, Kyle, I mean, this guy is in amazing shape. He's younger than I am, not a lot younger, but phenomenal physical shape. He was recently diagnosed with a bad heart valve, and he showed me a portable ECG, much like the one Pat talked about. It might have been the same one, the earlier version. And it was a great tool for him to be able to use to monitor his heart while he awaited surgery to replace the valve. I'm happy to say he is super healthy now and riding his bike up mountains again and running long distances and swimming. As geeks, we love metrics, and by measuring things, we can affect the results in the future. So I couldn't be happier to be learning about all these high-tech health gadgets. Well, back from a bit of a hiatus here, we've got George from Tulsa.
My 1953 ranch house is long and low, with a mix of old and newer electrical circuits. The cable modem and primary router and Airport Extreme N are at the far north end. The media room juts out to the east at about the middle, the front porch at the west middle, the bedrooms at the far south. I ran an Ethernet cable to the media room and added a Netgear N900 router there and connected everything except one Chromecast with Ethernet. There's three wireless networks. Number one at 2.4 from the extreme, number two at 2.4, and number three at 5 gigahertz from the Netgear. I assigned channels that don't overlap each other or the neighbors. None reliably reach the front porch or bedrooms. I've wondered if the remodelings, steel studs, and aluminized insulation impede the signals, or if it's just distance. Because of the mix of old and new circuits and circuit panels, Ethernet over power line didn't work. I had a Netgear N300 range extender that did some good, rebroadcasting the 2.4 band from the media room's N900. Even at its best, the N300 didn't reach the bedrooms strongly. So when some of my gear stopped connecting to it at all, I decided to skip troubleshooting and upgrade. Last weekend, Best Buy had Netgear's much larger EX6200 AC1200 range extender on sale. My delivered price was $77, thanks to a $10 reward certificate. The EX6200 rebroadcasts all current 802.11 frequencies from A to AC. Setting up the EX6200 was as simple as screwing on two antennas, connecting and turning on power, and accessing setup through a browser. The menus were simple and easy to understand. Setup might have been even easier with automated Wi-Fi protected setup, often called WPS. But hey, Steve Gibson warned us about the dangers of WPS, and I long ago disabled it on the N900. I could have chosen the Airport Extreme's SSID, but since the Extreme doesn't broadcast 5 GHz, and because I've read these extenders may work better within the same brand, I chose the two SSIDs broadcast by the Netgear N900. I'm now able to pick up strong signals on the front porch and in the bedrooms. I've not tried streaming HD video yet, but browsing the networks will, as does Google's streaming Play music service. This relatively light use in no way tests the EX6200's upper capabilities, which Netgear advertises includes automatic beamforming and configurable fast lane to tune it for HD gaming and video streaming. If you need or want to extend the range of your wireless signal, I recommend the EX6200. It works well, is inexpensive, simple to set up, and its non-proprietary browser-based management tool should always be accessible. If you don't have a Best Buy certificate, you can find the EX6200 on Amazon. If you do, remember Allison's affiliate link and help keep the NoSilicast on the air.
Well, hey, thanks, George, especially for reminding people to use the Amazon affiliate links. I've changed all of the links and everything talked about today to Amazon affiliate links to keep help keep the show on the air, as he says. But you know, George, I haven't yet done the testing I keep meaning to do of the coverage of Wi-Fi in my house since I got the Netgear Nighthawk X8 router. I want to, first of all, prove that the signal from that is better than from the Nighthawk X8 than it is from the AirPort Extreme. Remember, I've got them both running right now, but I'm pretty sure my dining room is still pretty bad. If I'm able to prove that empirically, I'll probably pick up a Netgear EX6200 range extender too. That sounds fun. The good news is that on Amazon, it's only $80, $79.99. So it's only $3 more than you got it with your coupon on Best Buy. So that seems like that's probably worth it for people. And thanks for a great review as always. And speaking of the Nighthawk X8, let's hear from Denise Crown, also known as Deverell, in the chat room.
Well, castaways, it was time to replace our router. Our ISP caps our bandwidth to 450 gigabytes per month, and several times a year they assert we use double this or more. We don't stream a lot of movies, our cloud data is pretty static, and we have a stupidly complex password, so this runaway bandwidth is a mystery I cannot solve with our aged AirPort Express router. We also need the ability to manage a lot of Wi-Fi devices. The wiring closet is at the far back of our house, which has always caused connectivity problems in the front of the house. Wanting a router that would be current for a few years, I chose the Tri-Band Netgear Nighthawk X8 AC5300 Smart Wi-Fi Router. What a mouthful. I purchased it on Amazon using Allison's banner and paid a whopping $359.99. It's definitely an investment. As the dedicated network and software tech in my house, I dreaded this project like the very plague. I removed all the old equipment, dusted, crossed my fingers, and plugged in this huge beast. I was pleasantly surprised by how easy it was to set up. There's an iPhone app, but I found the most convenient way was to log in via browser. There's a security bulletin on this router that Allison kindly forwarded once she learned of my purchase. So let's talk about what you get for almost $400. There are 8 antennas, 4 internal and 4 that you can direct where you need them. 6 glorious gigabit Ethernet ports. Yay! Ability to aggregate 2 Ethernet ports for up to 2 gigabytes per second file transfer. This is nice if you attach a NAS to the router. Tri-band Wi-Fi to segregate the Internet of Things to one band. Smart Connect picks the fastest Wi-Fi band for each device. Quad Stream Wi-Fi for better streaming. Parental controls. Dynamic quality of service eliminates fights when we're both doing bandwidth intensive things. And an app to manage the network remotely. And finally, traffic management so I can be more proactive managing our precious bandwidth. Hashtag fighting with my ISP. A few things I've not tried. ReadyCloud USB access requires you buy a Ready NAS solution and plug it into the router. ReadyShare Vault is PC software for automatic backup to a USB hard drive. DLNA server finds and plays media on your TV and game consoles. And a collection of open source software if you want to tweak. Minor things I'd improve. I don't like power bricks that block other outlets, so I wish they'd either build it into the box, probably too much heat for that, or put it in the middle of the cord where I could hide it. It has 2 USB ports, but only one is USB 3.0. Weird. It's huge, almost twice the size of my AirPort Extreme. It's capable of being wall-mounted, but they didn't include any hanging hooks. That would be such a nice bonus for a router costing almost $400. In fact, some command hook solution would be great. Read about customer delight, Netgear. They could throw in some Velcro ties as well. I think this is a good choice if you're concerned about range, if you have a lot of home automation, your tribe's fighting over the Wi-Fi, your ISP capture bandwidth, or your router conflicts with your neighbors and you can't control that. I give this router 5 stars for ease of setup and configuration. So far, Wi-Fi is so stable. I love it. I clocked outdoor Wi-Fi speeds of 15 megabits per second in the backyard and 4 megabits per second in the front yard, the furthest point from the router. I'm very pleased so far. Ciao!
I'm really excited that Denise got the Nighthawk X8 because she and I have scheduled another play date. We've done one before. Anyway, we want to explore the more advanced settings together. There's so much built into this router, and I don't want to have it just sit there being as dumb as any other router. We're going to dig in and report back on what we break, because I bet we will break some stuff. In fact, that'll be interesting to do a play date while we're messing with routers. We'll let you know how that works out. Anyway, thanks a lot, Denise, for a fantastic review. That was really cool. All right, next up, we've got Alistair Jenks.
Greetings, Allison and fellow No Silly Castaways. Alistair here from New Zealand with a quick review of a product that won't excite many, but will help prevent moments of horror. The problem to be solved is keeping my gorgeous gold 12-inch MacBook looking gorgeous. I bought the laptop while traveling and so quickly became aware of just how easily it marked, even carefully putting it in its own pocket in my work-provided laptop backpack. It clearly needed its own special protection. I asked on the NoSilicast Google Plus community for recommendations, and Bart suggested the Acme-made skinny sleeve for MacBook, which I very much like the look of. But one of the disadvantages of living in New Zealand is having to deal with shipping. If I can't find a local source for a product, it's often not worth the hassle, as if something is wrong with the product when it arrives, I am usually stung for return shipping and the value for money diminishes quickly. I couldn't find the skinny sleeve locally, so I set about looking for something similar at local suppliers where I could walk in and inspect the product. Turns out there is very little on offer here. I walked into our local Apple reseller and looked around and could not find a single one. I asked a staff member and he couldn't find any either. Maybe they don't sell many MacBooks, but I thought it was a pretty poor showing to have no products available. As with so many things in life, the solution presented itself when I wasn't looking for it. I had gone into a major appliance retailer, who also happens to be an Apple reseller, to buy printer inks, and while heading to the counter, noticed a large rack of cases and sleeves, predominant amongst which were products for iPads. But there in the corner was a selection of larger ones, and after hunting through many 13-inch and 15-inch sizes, I found the Tucano Elements Second Skin for MacBook 12-inch. The Second Skin for MacBook is available in 4 colours, black, grey, blue and gold. I was rather taken by the gold one, which matches my MacBook's colour quite closely. It's more saturated than the tinted aluminium of the MacBook, but it's tonally very close. While finding a link for this review, I noted a wonderful thing Tucano do on their website. I got a pop-up saying they do not ship to New Zealand, and this gave me the option to search for retailers who stock their products. I checked it out, and sure enough, the very place I bought it is on the map. Top points, Tucano. The sleeve is made of 4mm neoprene, smooth to the touch on the outside and soft and velvety on the inside. It is robustly constructed with 4 rows of flatlock stitching on the main seam and a high-quality zipper which glides easily every time and has 2 pullers for convenience. Inside the sleeve, adjacent to the zipper, there is a small elastic net which comfortably stretches over the edge of the MacBook when inserted, like the flap inside a pillowcase. This serves to stop the MacBook from slipping out when the zipper is opened. I thought it might also ensure the inside of the zipper could not mark the laptop, but I note there is a soft piping where the zipper is attached to the neoprene, and this serves as a buffer between the laptop and zipper as well. When the MacBook is inside the sleeve, I notice that it slips around a little, which I don't like, but when sliding the MacBook into the sleeve, there is not much room for error in alignment, so it is probably just right. Weighing in at a mere 150 grams, the sleeve does not detract from the ultra-portability of the 920-gram MacBook. The outside of the sleeve is adorned with only a product name, which is embossed on the neoprene in what appears to be a soft plastic, and a similarly embossed logo on the other side. These are in a darker tone of the same colour, which makes them easily visible but not striking. In fact, between the neoprene, zipper fabric, zipper plastic, stitching thread and embossing, the colour matching is excellent. The inside is completely black with a stamped logo in white. While I think I would prefer the elastic band of the Acme-made product over a zipper, I otherwise cannot fault the Tucano. My MacBook now lives in this sleeve 100% of the time that it is not being used, and I pop it into my work backpack every day along with my Lenovo. The only concession to absolute trust in the sleeve to protect my MacBook is in fact to protect the sleeve. I make sure to put the flat top side of the Lenovo laptop against the sleeve, as the knobbly underside tends to dent the neoprene. I don't think that denting would be permanent, but I like my sleeve to look as pristine as my MacBook. The Tucano Element Second Skin for MacBook 12-inch is €24.90 from the manufacturer if they ship to your country. I paid $49.99 New Zealand dollars for mine, and I've seen it for $34.99 US on Amazon. Links are in the show notes. If you'd like to hear more from me, you can find most things over at zkarj.me, including the once again relaunched Sitting Duck podcast.
Thanks for that, Alistair. Really appreciate it. And in the live chat room, we've been discussing how wonderful it is to hear your dulcet tones as usual. Nice to have you back in the podcasting realm again. That's going to be great. For you guys that like music, I'm telling you, it's an awesome podcast. As you know, I don't listen to music, but I've listened to a show and it's just wonderful. I also took a look at the Tucano Element Second Skin, and it really does look gorgeous. I'm happy with my in-case sleeve, but I'm not going to lie. That second skin's pretty good looking.
Hello, fellow NoSilicast listeners. My name is Daryl Shandro Hilliker, and today I would like to demonstrate the BeSpecular app. BeSpecular is available in the iOS App Store, and it is an app for blind or low vision people to receive remote sighted assistance. I'll go ahead and start the BeSpecular app.
Two new items.
Double tap on it.
Double tap to open. Actions available.
As you can hear, have voiceover running.
BeSpecular.
So, in typical NoSilicast tradition, we want to ask, what is the problem to be solved? The problem to be solved in this case is, I have something visually going on. I need to read a display of something, or I need to look at, you know, an article of clothing. I need to see if something expired in the refrigerator. So I need to receive sighted assistance with that. I don't live with a sighted person, and I'm not really able to, or don't feel like going next door and asking a neighbor. So thanks to iOS and iPhones and digital cameras and the cloud and the internet and all those wonderful things, I have options now. So BeSpecular is an app that takes a photo of something, or it takes a photo out of your phone's camera roll, sends it up to a server in the cloud, sends your request to a group of sighted volunteers, where one or more volunteers respond to your request and hopefully provide the assistance that you need. Let's go ahead and demonstrate this. I'm going to solve a specific use case problem where I have a photo in my camera roll that I want to get a description for. So BeSpecular is running.
BeSpecular, back button.
And I'm just going to back because I was in a different place. So let's go to the top of the screen by tapping with four fingers, which I just did on the top of the screen. I'm going to flick to the right.
BeSpecular, heading. Take a picture, button. Upload picture from gallery, button. Tips and tricks, button. Tips and tricks.
So it's pretty straightforward. I can take a picture, I can upload a picture from the gallery, also known as the camera roll, or I can get tips and tricks on how to use the app. So I'm going to flick once to the left to
upload picture from gallery button.
Double tap.
Upload photos heading.
Let's move, flick to the right.
Cancel. But moments. Text feed. All photos. First. Screenshots.
Okay, so
my albums. Heading. Dropbox. 11. BeSpecular. Family. From Alison Hilliker. Button. Family. BeSpecular.
So
one
I'm
going
to go
my albums,
back
heading.
To
screenshots. First.
I'm flicking to the left now.
All
going
photos.
Back to all photos.
All photos.
Double tap.
All photos. Photos. Back button. All photos. Cancel. Photo. Portrait. January 10th. 1:13 a.m. Blurry. Image. Page 3 of 4.
Now I'm going to just tap the bottom of the screen with four fingers.
Page 3 of 4.
End.
Set photo, portrait, photo, portrait, July 17th, 3:49 a.m.
I'm going to flick to
photo,
the left.
Portrait, July 17th, 3:37 a.m. Photo, portrait, July 11th, 9:43 a.m. Sharp, image. Photo, portrait, July 10th, 8:40
okay, so I
photo,
do want the,
portrait.
I do want the July 11th photo, so I'm double tapping on it.
Photo, portrait, July 11th, 9:43 a.m. Sharp, image. BeSpecular. Uploading picture. Please stand by. Button. Upload complete. Double tap and hold to record your message. Button.
So I can either double tap and hold to record my message or flick to the right.
Type your question. Button.
Type my question.
Upload additional picture for this request. Button.
Or upload an additional picture.
Cancel. Cancel.
Of course, button. Cancel. So the cool thing is also I can upload as many pictures as I need to get across the thing that I, you know, to describe the thing that I need help with. So I've actually done this. Yes, I've used Bespectacular to help me match an outfit to make sure that it's appropriate to wear out in public. Yes, I am that guy, apparently. Anyway, okay, so to the left.
Upload addition. Type your question. Button. Double tap and hold to record your message. Button.
I'm going to go ahead and double tap and hold to record a message. I appreciate your help with this request. Could you please describe the photo as concisely and clearly as possible? And could you please provide that description in text format instead of recording it, please, so that I can save that description back to my phone's camera roll? I really appreciate it in advance. Thanks lots. I'm going to let
alert.
Up.
Send request.
I'll flick to the right.
Yes. Send. Button.
Double tap.
Bespectacular. Sending request. Please wait. Dimmed. Button.
Bespectacular is a volunteer-supported app. It's currently free. The website for more information is...
One person replied.
The website for more information is bespectacular.com. BESPECULAR.com. Obviously, I would like as many blind people as possible to try this app. But even more important, I would like any of you who are listening who happen to be sighted to consider volunteering for this app. Nice thing about it is that you can volunteer as much or as little as you like, because the requests come in as push notifications. So it's not an obligation on your part. If you can't do it, that's fine. You can ignore the notification and other people will be responding to the request. All right, so there is one reply. So let's flick to the right and see what we got.
View reply. Button.
Double tap.
Replies. Beautiful little girl sitting on a handmade blanket.
Okay, so it says beautiful little girl sitting on a handmade blanket. I'm just going to see if there are any other replies.
Please rate the helpfulness of this person's reply.
So I'm just flicking to the right to show you what else is available.
1 star. Disappointing. Button. 2 stars. Poor. Button. 3 stars. Fair. Button. 4 stars. Very good. Button. 5 stars. Excellent. Button. Your request. 4 minutes ago. 1 reply received. You will receive further replies. Send me further replies. Switch button. On. Send me further replies. Switch button. On.
Okay, so I'm going
to
flick back to...
You will receive 4 minutes. Your request. 5 stars. 4 stars. Very good. Button.
And I'll say very good.
4 stars. Very good. Alert. Notice. Do you still want further replies? Yes. Button.
I'm just flicking to the right here and select yes.
Yes.
I do like...
Replies. 4 stars. Very good. Button.
If at all possible, I would like to get a more... I'd like to get a little more detail.
Refreshing content.
If I don't, that's okay too. In fact, for these purposes here, we're going to go ahead and do one more step. So let's flick to
the 3 stars.
Left.
2 star. 1 star. You rated this as 4 stars. Very good. Beautiful little girl sitting on a handmade blanket. 2 minutes ago. Reply by Joe. Actions. Button.
So double tap on actions.
Actions. Alert. Save image with description. Button.
And I'm going to double tap on that. Save image with description.
Alert. Text field is editing. Beautiful little girl sitting on a handmade blanket. Character mode. Insertion point at end. Cancel. Button. Save. Button.
So just flick to the right to the save button. Double tap.
Save. Replies. Actions. Button.
And finally, let's go into the Photos app and see what we have. Open Photos.
Photos. Moments. Edit. Search. Albums. Check. Memory. Selected.
Just
photos.
Tap the bottom of the screen with 4 fingers and flicking back.
Beautiful little girl sitting on a handmade blanket. Photo. Portrait. 3:37 a.m. One face. Sharp. Image.
And that's,
12.
And that's
beautiful
my
girl
newest
sitting
photo.
On a handmade blanket. Photo, clothing, candle, portrait, 3:37 a.m. One face, sharp, image.
So there you go. There's no candle in that photo. I'm not sure where that's coming from. That's the automated object description feature in iOS. Anyway, that's it, everybody. I hope that this review is helpful and that some of you will consider volunteering. Please visit bespectacular.com. This is Daryl Shandra Hilliker from blindaccessjournal.com. If you like more information on accessibility, podcasts, other similar goodness, please visit blindaccessjournal.com. Please follow me on Twitter at Darrell, D-A-R-R-E-L-L. And please also feel free to follow my wife, Allison, at Allitalk, A-L-L-I-T-A-L-K. Thanks for listening, and have a wonderful week, everybody. Goodbye.
Well, thanks so much for that, Darrell. That's really, really cool. Darrell is the first blind person I met in the podcasting world, and he has taught me so much over the many years. He's really the one who helped start getting me into understanding accessibility, and he's become a good friend over the years. And I couldn't be happier for him and Allison Hilliker getting together, and they have a lovely new baby. I mean, it's just a great, great story. So I appreciate any time Darrell can check in with us. Well, that's going to wind us up for this week. Do not forget to send in your dumb questions, comments, and suggestions by emailing me at allison@podfeet.com. Remember, you can do your own listener reviews, too, like all these guys do. I always appreciate listener reviews, especially week after next. We're going to go back down and play with the new baby again. So if you felt like doing another review, that would be great. Anyway, don't forget to follow me on Twitter at Podfeet and check out our NoSillaCast Google Plus community at podfeet.com/Google Plus and our Facebook group at podfeet.com/Facebook. If you want to join in the fun of the live show, we had a lively and fun audience tonight. Head on over to podfeet.com/live on Sunday nights at 5 p.m. Pacific time and join the friendly and enthusiastic NoSilla Castaways. Thanks for listening and stay subscribed.